We've been talking about the will of God and going through this series discussion about the will of God, and it's been really exciting. I hope that you have found it as enjoyable, as insightful as I've been finding it. It's been interesting to go through and just look at what the will of God is, how crazy it is, how outlandish it is at times, how unmistakable it is at other times, and how God's call on our lives to walk through life in His will, in the center of His will, is just a challenge. It's hard, and it doesn't make any sense. And so we've been looking at this, we've been enjoying it, and it just so happens that right in the middle of this sermon series, I went to a prayer breakfast with some pastors and met a guy there by the name of Lino. And Lino was describing to me just briefly about his call to ministry and how he's just right now kind of in this spot where he's not sure where God is calling him to go or where to be. But this guy ultimately has just relied on the Lord's leading and the Lord calling him to go wherever it is that he is called to go. He's traveled throughout 69 different countries preaching the gospel of Jesus. He's spent time in Africa, long periods of time in Africa, doing evangelistic crusades and preaching the gospel and seeing people come to know Jesus and to see people healed. He met his wife Janice in the Philippines and married her, brought her here, and they have a beautiful baby boy, Lino Jr., as well. And so I'm going to invite Lino to come up and share with us this morning just this whole process of what God is doing in him and just to share with us this morning about God's will in his life. So let's invite Lino up here right now. Go ahead and give him a hand.
Testing, is this on? Okay. It's a little bit different when you're speaking out and there's a microphone on your cheek. Just want to make sure you can listen. So my name is Lino Dukic and my wife Janice. I've come through Salem many times because my mother has a house here and my sister also has a house. Many times I just came through for a few days and I left, but this time we've come here and kind of relocated here and put our roots down. We don't know how long. It could be short, could be long. And so we are blessed to be able to bring you the Word of God today. I hope to inspire you, to stir you up in the gifts and talents God has given you, and most of all, give you a fresh hunger for God. Amen. Because blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and as the deer panteth for the water, our souls are supposed to pant for the living God. And I find that when I've been in different parts of the world, sometimes I've seen different hunger, in sometimes different places in Africa, all they have is Jesus, and they know all they have is Jesus, and it's either Jesus is going to do a miracle or nothing's going to happen. And sometimes in the U.S. we have a lot of choices, we have a lot of distractions, and I hope that by the testimony and what God's done in me and the word that he'll give to you, that you will be encouraged. So let us pray, and I'll give you the word, give you a testimony. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your grace. Lord, if it wasn't for you dying on the cross and shedding your blood for our sins, none of us would be here. Lord, you make us right. You make us holy. You make us in right relationship with you, Lord. How we dearly need you today, more than the air we breathe, more than the song we sing, Lord, more than anything, Lord, we need you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. I ask, Lord, that I can move out of the way and you can come and have your way. In the name of Jesus, amen. So back when I was just getting out of high school, I was about to go into the Navy, and I signed to go into the Navy, and 3 or 4 days from going into the Navy, I was in a Navy recruiting softball game, and I slipped on second base, and I fractured my ankle, and they put a metal plate in, and I never can go in the armed forces again. And so, accidents happen, and I guess we don't always understand. So after that, later when my leg healed, I was playing soccer on the soccer field. I grew up always playing soccer. I was a really good goalkeeper, and I had a dream of playing in for one of the soccer teams in colleges, and I was playing junior college soccer one day, and a guy was wearing Jesus Christ crucified on his shirt, and I started talking to him, and I went back to church, and I repented of my sins, and I got right with the Lord, and then I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the same friends that I used to be drinking alcohol with, I was preaching to them, stop drinking wine and being filled with that, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they knew I was different, and you know, I just started telling people about Jesus, and it just came natural, and I wasn't really taught how to do it. I just fell in love with the Lord, and then I went to be where my father was in Palm Desert, California, Southern California, and my father is from a Muslim country, Bosnia Herzegovina, and he gave me a lot of difficulties why his son is following Christ, and they didn't want me to read the Bible in the house sometimes, and I would just take the pocket Bible, and I would read in the bathroom, and I would always stay strengthened, and sometimes my father would make jokes, and sometimes he got really upset and run after me and different stuff, and sometimes he actually gave me some money and said, this is not from Jesus, this is from me, and it was quite hard sometimes. He just didn't understand, and to get that part of the story out, and I traveled different places preaching and stuff, and a few years ago I came back, my father was sick, and I laid my hands on him and prayed for him, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him, the presence of God touched him, and he repented of his sins, and he got right with the Lord, even though, you know, he was having some problems mentally and this and that, but God opened up his heart and saved him right there, and we were eating breakfast, and I said, for 20 years you argue with me about this, and he just laughed, yeah, and his whole countenance changed, he was smiling and this and that, and the next day I prayed for him, and I had to fly back to the Philippines, and I didn't know it, that the second to the last day I'd ever see my father on this earth, that I would have the most honorable privilege to lead him to the Lord, and so the next day I had to go back to the Philippines, and my wife was over there, and we were doing ministry in different countries there, and So after time went by, I was trying to get back. My father's health was deteriorating. He was getting worse. And he actually, because of the timing, as I'm giving you the message, yesterday, as of 1 year, he died. And I know that he went to heaven. And I wasn't able to go to the funeral. I had some meetings set up in Japan. But, you know, I didn't really have the funds, but they ended up, the other side of the family shipped his body to what is his country, Bosnia, and they had a Muslim funeral for him. But it didn't matter because I just said, you know, he accepted Christ and Christ lived in him, and you can have a Muslim funeral, you can do whatever you want. I know that he's in heaven. And, you know, it's not easy to understand the will of God. You think after somebody receives Christ, you think that they're going to follow, and you think this and that. I never imagined his body would be shipped to his country and they still have a Muslim funeral, but that side of the family doesn't understand that he received Christ that day, he truly repented of his sins, and he became a new creation. And I just thank God that out of so many people I've led to the Lord all over the world, that I was able to reach my own father. I mean, even you may have family and friends, sometimes they're so stubborn, their heart is so hard, it's difficult, and they look at you wondering, why do you go to church? Why do you read your Bible? But you know, God puts us in their life for a reason, and God put different people in our life for a reason, the same way that young man was wearing Jesus Christ crucified that day when I was playing soccer, and he turned my attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you never know whose life you're going to affect. You never know what seed you've sown in the person's heart that truly gets them thinking of God, makes them hungry for God. All it says is, my main message to you is to be faithful. We don't always understand the will of God, but God calls us to be faithful. He says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, that if you're faithful with little, you can be faithful with much. But if you're dishonest with little, you'll be dishonest with much. So, you know, your calling may just to be housewife, be a blessing to your husband, train up your children in the way of the Lord. Your calling may be a pastor. Your calling may be something really, really big, or your calling may be something really small, but in the eyes of God, all the callings are the same, because he loves us all the same. He created us fearfully and wonderfully to have that intimate relationship with him. And some of the things that drove me to go overseas and preach and drove me to know the Lord deeper was, I needed him to satisfy me. I needed his presence. When I went through those things with my father, sometimes I was going through depression and I was trying to get through it. And I remember one time they gave me a medication or something. They said, if you take this, this will help you. But I felt like a zombie or something when I took this medication. And I went to my pastor. I said, do I need to take this medication for depression? Can I just keep coming to church, reading my Bible, getting in the presence of God, receiving prayer, and I can be healed? He said, yes, you don't need to take that medication. So I just continued to press in, go to church, continue to read the Bible, and continue to hunger for the Lord, and I was healed. And I remember even one time a cousin came to my house on Sunday, and my father was like, here's some money, take him out. And I was thinking, how am I going to get to church? You know, I really need to be filled with the Spirit today. I really need his touch. I really need to hear the word of God. And so my father gave us like $20 or something, and I took that cousin to the arcade in the mall, and I said, you just take this $20, you play all the games you want, I'll pick you up in 2 hours. So I went to church, and God satisfied me. He touched me, and I went back out, and I was able to keep going. And, you know, there are times that we go through a wilderness or through the desert, and God always makes a way where there seems to be no way, to give us a drink and to encourage us and to keep us going. Amen. So as my time when I went overseas, I ended up moving from California first to Pennsylvania, and I entered Penn State University. And my parents, they just wanted me to study, but I wanted to preach. So I decided to major in human development, family study. And as I was majoring in that, I went to a conference in North Carolina with the other youth, and a man was speaking by the name of Daryl Flowers. I believe he was a basketball player at Oregon State University a long time ago. And he was saying, you know, you need to get in the game. You need to tell people about Christ. Don't always just be a spectator and watch the game and watch how everybody's doing it. Get in the game. So that time I decided to sign up for the mission trip to China. And it was in 1997, and all of a sudden I got a phone call. They said that the China mission trip has been canceled for security reasons. So I went to South Africa, and we went to Wits University and another university in Pretoria, and we found the Wits University, the young people were really intellectual and they're hard to reach. But when we went to Pretoria, the young people's hearts were very open and they were receiving Christ. And I was so excited when I went back to university in 1998. I just was thinking, how can I go on my next mission trip? And I started working, and every time I had free time, as I was studying and taking summer classes, and then when I had time, I went on another mission trip, and I went to Namibia and South Africa. And then a year later, I was able to do my internship in southern Italy through the university, writing about missionaries' families and writing about how they live their life. And I would go out on the street trying to tell people about Christ in Italian, but you know, they told me, if you want to speak English, go back to America, you know. And so I would bring a track and I would just try to tell them Jesus loves you, but you know, it was all I could do. But little by little, God was helping me preach in Italian, and after 5 months I was able to go on the street and preach to people one-on-one, one-on-three, and tell them about Christ. And during that time I was praying and I was praying, and it was really hard to reach people in southern Italy. You know, the Catholicism is very strong, and I found myself fasting, I found myself praying. And so instead of going back and receiving my diploma in the month of May, when I graduated, I went to Africa again, and went to South Africa, Namibia, Zimbabwe, and God was just moving. And I went with some young people. We went to a high school in Namibia, and we did some plays and did some things to get their attention. And then the Lord let me preach, and we did an altar call, and almost the whole high school came up and received the Lord. And though it was difficult in Italy, I was praying for souls and praying for souls, and when I went to Africa that time, they were open. And what happened with me, and still I'm asking God to give me that hunger, help me to stay dependent on him, help me to, even if I have everything I need, or if I don't have everything I need, that it keep me content, and that I know my source is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were some times when I came back to America, and I remember I wanted to go back to Africa again, and I had been in the nation of Tanzania, and that time he really moved. And so when I went back to America, I was working, and I remember I was visiting a friend in Key West, Florida, and doing some evangelism there, and I worked about for 3 months and done two jobs there. And so I saved up my money, and my mother was like, I don't think you have enough money. You need to keep working. And I said, no, I need to go to the International House of Prayer. I need to pray. I need to get ready for this mission trip. There's going to be a lot of demonic stuff we're going to face, witchcraft. It doesn't matter how much funds we have at the moment. I know that God will supply. God's going to help me. And so then I went on this trip back to Tanzania in the year 2003. And when I went there, the pastors and stuff weren't prepared like I wanted them. So I was wondering, what do I do? You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22-27, he says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, like the Super Bowl today. The prize is going to fade away. No matter if the Patriots or the Seahawks win, you know, after 2 years or 1 year, sometimes we forget who won last year. And I think it was the Seahawks, huh? But we do it with an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. So even as a Christian, we should be preparing. You know, we don't know if tomorrow we're going to go to Fred Meyer and we're getting the oranges or the bananas, if somebody there ready to hear the gospel. Are we ready to say something, or are we too shy? Sometimes we're too shy, or we get afraid. Leonard Ravenhill said, if you're intimate with God, you don't fear man. And, you know, at times we get intimidated. Sometimes people, they just brush us off or slam the door in our face when we're doing door-to-door evangelism. But the thing is, he calls us to be ready in season or out of season. So that time I was in Africa, we decided to go to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And as I was going there, I was having trouble getting the visa. And so I went to Zambia, and I was preaching in Zambia, and God was moving, and a brother was taking me to the border of the Congo, Congo border of Zambia, and still we were having a hard time getting the visa. And I was asking God, do you really want me to go into this country, or is the devil trying to block my way, or God, are you trying to block my way and you have something else? And I didn't know what to do, but something in me was saying that, you know, and the Bible says that the workers are few, and at times, you know, the people are helpless and they need compassion. They need somebody to come in there and bring them the good news. And so I was struggling at this time, and we were at the border, and finally they said, well, just give us $50, we'll put your passport in the envelope. You go up to the nearest embassy in the city of Lubumbashi, which was 1 or 2 hours from the border, and we'll let you in. So finally they let me cross the border, and I was really struggling. Do I really need to go into this country? But I was burning inside, and something was leading me. And, you know, often we ask, is this God's will or this or that? You know, is it safe to go in there? But he says, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And so I was listening to his command. And so then we went in there, and I went in with some pastors to the embassy in Lubumbashi. And the main powerful guy there, he comes out, he opens my passport, and he says, there's no visa in here. Give us another $90. I said, well, at the border, your men were in uniform. I gave you $50. There should be a visa in there. And so he stops for a second, and he thinks, and he says, because of Jesus Christ, we will let you in. And so the people were so hungry for God. The first church they brought me in, I felt like a child. I was just relieved to get into the country. And as I was preaching, I didn't know it, but they said I touched on many prophetic things that they had been believing. And God was just touching people, and they were hungry, and the churches were packed. And all of a sudden, people were coming from everywhere. Pastors were coming from everywhere asking me to preach in their church. I didn't know who they were. I just asked my interpreter, please help me figure out what we're going to do. And sometimes you have many places to preach, and sometimes you have no place to preach. But the thing is, you have to be ready, and you have to keep that intimacy with the Lord strong. And if you're not keeping it strong, you ask him for the grace to help you to spend time. Sometimes we get busy, busy, busy. When I was also teaching English in Korea, sometime in the church, and
people are busy, busy, busy. And sometimes people working there are busy, busy, busy. Sometimes we come back to America and everybody wants me to be busy, busy, busy. I said, wait, wait, wait. I need some time with the Lord. I need to see what he's directing me to do. But as soon as I get here, they say, some family says, come on, get a job, get a job. Start working 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. I said, just wait. Let me see what God is guiding me to do. And that time when I was in Africa, I preached. I was in that country for 33 days. I preached 30 days. And sometimes in the Democratic Congo, like, people come to have service at 6 a.m. The church is packed. They want to have church before going to work. And they wake me up to go and preach. And I haven't even studied. I don't know what I'm going to speak. And I'm half asleep. And I go in there and I see all these people. I'm the only white guy in there. And they're hungry, waiting. They're believing that this person, me, at the moment, has something for them. And as I preach, the Holy Spirit just takes over and minister to them, and they're so hungry. And, you know, it is something special that they'll come out at 6 in the morning hungry to hear the Word of God. And, you know, often we struggle having that hunger, and we have to ask God to help us to stay hungry for him, because that is the safest place we can be in our Christian walk, is to stay hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, I went from Lubumbashi to Kinshasa, which is the capital, and I only had a 30-day visa. And a pastor came and he said that we'd like you to have some meetings in our church for 4 days. I said, well, you know, I only have 1 day left on this visa. I need to get out of here. And he took me to a government official, and the government official said, oh, just give us another $50, we'll stamp your passport. I said, no, no, pastor, I'm going to leave. I'm not paying. I do what the Lord wants me to do. And then the government official said, okay, it's okay. You don't have to pay anything. You just preach for them. We'll help you get across the border. So then I preached in this country. I didn't even have a visa. My visa expired. And they took me across the boat into the Congo Brazzaville, which is another country. Was with my interpreter in front of the boat, and they just escorted me across, and I got another country. They stamped the passport, no problem. And you know, it's difficult doing those things. But if I look back, I say, wow, how can I ever do that again? I don't know. It was just God had his hand on my life at that time, and people were hungry for the Lord. So God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And you know, sometimes when we come in the U.S. and, you know, I've been out of the U.S. for so long, I notice there's so much food, I mean, physical food, and I find it difficult to pray and fast sometimes when I get back to America. But, you know, there's so much food, it's amazing. And the thing is, we're so blessed here, but we have to remember that the seed that God gives us, whether spiritually, physically, or even financially, that seed, we want to plant it in the right place so that the receiver can be blessed and we can be blessed. We have so much, but we have to know where to plant it. You know, when I was in the Philippines, there was one night or one couple days after Halloween. I don't understand it, but so many of them, they go to the cemeteries and, you know, they pray their ancestors or whatever, but they spend so much money bringing flowers and bringing the flowers there. And I thought to myself, what a waste of your seed. Give it to somebody, a missionary that's going in the villages to preach. Sow that seed in the right place instead of spending all the money on those flowers for the dead. And there are so many different ways and thinkings of life when you go overseas. When we've been in Thailand, you know, my aunt lives there about 6 months a year, so sometimes we'd visit. And sometimes there's so many idols there, and so many people, when you preach the gospel to them, they tell you you're the first one ever to preach the gospel to them. And you think, wow, how can this be? I remember one time when I was in China, I was in a southern city, and I had a couple interpreters. We were in a park, and a man was fishing. He was like 65, 70 years old, and I said to the man, have you ever fished for men? He looked at me, fished for men? What are you talking about? And so he was fishing, and we began to tell him about Christ. And I said, would you like to accept Christ and receive forgiveness of your sins? He said, how can I receive Jesus right now? You're the first one to ever tell me about Jesus. I didn't know anything about him. And I think to myself, here I am from America, and I have two interpreters just so I can speak to this man. and this is his first time to ever hear the gospel. So you never know whose path you're going to be in. Like my father, I was probably the only church he ever seen. He never went to church. So you never know the person that God puts in your path. Are you ready to give them the word of God? You may not always be able to give them the word well or this and that, but you can pray for them. Amen. God calls us to pray for the people who don't know him. And so, you know, it took me through so many different places. There was a time when I got back to America, I was wondering what I'm going to do and how I'm going to get finances to keep preaching. And my family was like, yeah, you need to get a job, stop that preaching and this and that. So I found a job in South Korea and I started teaching English over there, teaching to children. And after that, I would go into China and go into Philippines, go into different places. And one time even God brought me into Pakistan. And I didn't tell my family I was going in there because they get freaked out. You know, they're watching too much news. And when I went to Pakistan, they were so kind to me. They would put these leis around me and they would honor me. And I was like, wow. And they were so kind. And preached almost every night in a different church. And I really remember this one lady. We were preaching an outdoor crusade in a village. And she came up to receive Christ. And after we asked, what do you want prayer for? And she said, you know, she was veiled. I could only see her eyes. She was wearing the Muslim everything. And she said, I need some prayer for my brothers. They're being falsely accused of murder. So I prayed for her. So sometimes people, they come to Christ out of desperation, knowing that the gods that they're trying to believe in, trying to get answers, they're not getting answers. And thankfully, she had the courage and she came up and she received Christ. Now, I don't always understand why this person receives Christ and that person doesn't receive Christ. But the Lord tells us to be obedient. And, you know, even Joseph, when Joseph was so blessed and he opened up about his dreams and visions and what God was going to do, his brothers got jealous and his brothers threw him into the pit. And sometimes we have to be careful with the timing that we tell others what God wants to do with us. At that time, if I told too early that I'm going to go to Pakistan, that time some people may have talked me out of it because, oh, you're going to die there, this and that. But thankfully, I went at the right time, and a lot of people in the churches that I was, mostly they were Baptist churches, but they were from Baptist missionaries before, but they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were very hungry in these churches, and most of the Christians there were from generation to generation. There were few, and they don't have so many temptations like we have in the U.S., and they would stay faithful. And so the Lord, at times, he'll bring you into places you never imagined that you would go, simply because he is with you, and he is there to work through you. He wants to work through us. He wants to save people through us. I remember one time when I was visiting family in Bosnia, and I came through Italy, and I couldn't understand, man, they don't want to receive Christ. There's nothing I can do. And I was lost in Venice, Italy. I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know where I was going. And I asked the man, where's the street? And he was a Muslim from Iran, and he said, here's some fruit. Sit down and talk to me. And so I sat down and talked to him for 1 hour using three languages, English, Italian, and my father's language, breaking it up to bring him the gospel, to tell him that Jesus loves him, Jesus wants to forgive him of his sin, that God has a plan for him, that God wants to have an intimate relationship with him. And all of a sudden, he decided to believe, and he prayed, and he received the Lord, and he was crying, and I was just sitting there, you know, I was lost. I didn't know where I was. And this Muslim from Iran decided it was his time to receive Christ. I mean, you can target these people day and night and say, come on, God, just one of them be saved. And it's hard to reach them. And the Bible says that when one sinner repents of their sins, the angels in heaven rejoice. And so, you know, whatever you may be going through, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. How can somebody be saved unless someone is sent to preach to them? And even in our weakness, if we will speak, God will do the work. We can pray for our city to be saved, but if we don't speak, how can they be saved? And you know, I remember one time on the news, it's kind of a story I've used for bringing the gospel is there was a man, he was going to South Africa on vacation. He was from England, and he was so excited to get away from the English winter, and it was very sunny, and he came to South Africa on Cape Town, and he couldn't wait to go surfing and swimming. But as he was taking a shower, the news came on, and the alert came and said, be careful, or you may not, you should not be swimming today, you should not go in the ocean today, there's a shark. And so he was in the shower, and he didn't listen, he didn't hear it. So then he came out in the TV, he changed the channel, and he was getting dressed, and it said, shark alert, do not go on the ocean today and swim. And he said, there's no shark there, there's no shark. You know, I came all the way from England, I'm going to go swimming today, and there's no shark. And so as he's going to the beach, there's a sign there, and it says, shark alert. And he doesn't see it, or he just walks by it, or somebody's trying to call him, but he sees the number and says, that person's going to say something that I don't want to hear, so they don't answer the phone. And so many times we try to preach the gospel to the people, we try to shine the light of Christ to them, but they don't want to see it, or they don't want to hear it, or we try to warn them, if you don't repent of your sins, you may go to hell. They don't believe us, and sometimes, you know, they're hiding from us, and we're going to hide from the pastor, the pastor's our neighbor, I don't want to hear the message. And so this man was being warned and warned and warned that there's a shark there, but he didn't listen, or he couldn't see, or whatever it is. Sometimes we preach to people, but they don't hear, or the message is spoken, but they don't understand it, and as the word of God says, the enemy comes and steals the word from them. And as he was going, he just decided to go swimming, and as he was swimming, all of a sudden, he's screaming because a shark bit his leg. He's like, why didn't somebody tell me there was a shark here? And, you know, the Bible says that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And unfortunately, it wasn't God's will that that man's leg be bitten. But it was bitten because he did not listen, or he did not follow the rules, or he didn't see the sign, or he didn't listen to one of us. He decided to do what he wanted to do. And every day we warn people Christ is coming, that Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Not everybody wants to listen to us. We may have a child, or we may have a parent that doesn't want to listen, but we just continue to pray for them and pray for them that God will get their attention. God is not willing that anybody will perish, and he's always showing himself to people. He may not be showing it directly that they can understand, because the disciples used to ask Jesus, what are you saying? Because Jesus was speaking parables. Now, a parable, as you know, is a story, and it's a story that, you know, the highest, when you're in college, the best teachers, they make you figure out the answer instead of giving you the answer, so that when you figure out the answer for yourself, it means more to you. And so, as Jesus spoke in parables to the outsiders, the ones he said that their heart wasn't truly wanting to believe, the disciples said, what are you talking about? And Jesus said, when I'm alone with you, I will tell you what the parable means. I will give you a more intimate answer. And God, that's bringing us closer to him, he wants to open up his heart to us and show us the secrets of the kingdom. He says in Psalm 25:14, I share my secrets with those I'm in covenant with. I share my secrets with my friends. So he's an intimate God, yet he wants to see the world saved. And when we hunger for him and we want to stay intimate with him, God's going to do things through us, because nothing we can do without him. A good tree bears good fruit. A mango tree cannot bear oranges. A cherry tree cannot bear bananas. So as you stay in the Lord, good things are going to happen. As you stay in the Lord, people are going to come to Christ. It may be one, it may be many, but even one soul is worth more than the world. And God loves everybody. And he didn't just make us that we're going to be blessed. He made people that others will be blessed through us. He didn't save us so that we can be saved. He saved us so others can be saved. I remember when my grandmother, she was in a car accident, and she was unconscious. She was in the hospital. And I went to the hospital, and I prayed for her, and after some time, she woke up, And she was having anxiety attacks, and the doctors were giving her medicine and this and that, and she was still shaking. I said, Grandma, you just asked Jesus to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. According to Luke 11:13, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. He'll give you peace. He'll comfort you. He'll lead you into all truth. She was over 80 years old that time, and she had the faith, and she asked Jesus to give her the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and she stopped shaking. And all the doctors and the nurses, they just looked, whoa, because, you know, where there's no way, God is going to make a way. Now, if I wasn't walking with the Lord at that time, if I was backslidden, I was in rebellion, who's going to be there to tell my grandma how to receive the Holy Spirit? Because the medicine she was taking, she was still suffering. So, you know, your life is special. Your life is valuable. The people that you've talked to even these days, I probably may never meet. There are people in your life that I cannot reach, that only you can reach. There are things that you do that only you can do. Some of you may have one talent, five talents, 10 talents. Be faithful with those talents, and God's going to bless you. Amen? He calls us to be faithful. Now, you know, when we lay hands and we pray for the sick, of course, we want to see everybody healed. But it's up to God to touch them and heal them. We just be obedient. When we preach the word of God to people, we want to see them saved, but we cannot save them. But we must do the work, whether it's here in Salem, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Asia. And sometimes we say, well, how are we going to get the finances here and there? Well, we know that our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We don't always understand how we're going to make it. We don't always know. I remember I was trying to choose between a mission. I always wanted to preach in Fiji. And I had saved enough airplane miles, and when it was coming down to it, I was talking to the brother that was going to host me, and he said, well, we can't really do too much evangelism here because you need a permit and this and that. And then I was finding out there was more expenses, and then, I had saved up these miles, and I really wanted to go there, but things were just working out, and financially it was going to be too hard. So then I contacted a brother in Japan, actually, it was about the time when my father had that his funeral. And so sometimes you actually also, the will of God or where you're going to go to preach, unfortunately, sometimes you have to choose because of finances and what resources you have. So at that time, I went to Japan. They were able to host me, and also in Korea. But when I was trying to pick, do I pick Japan and Korea or do I pick Fiji? But the problem is Fiji is, they weren't really able to host me. I needed more money for the accommodation, and I weighed out the two, and I was looking what's better for my family. And so then at that time, I went to Japan and Korea. So there are times where, unfortunately, when we're choosing the will of God and also choosing where we're going to preach, we have to look at, you know, financially. And, you know, but David, when David in, I think it was 1st or 2nd Kings or wherever in the Old Testament, David was in sin, and he took a census. And he was not supposed to take this census. So there was a punishment coming to him. And he said, I would rather God punish me than fall into the hands of man. And at that time, he was looking for an offering for God. And the king came to him and said, take these silver shekels and gold shekels or whatever it was and give it as an offering to the Lord. And David said, no, I cannot take those from you because it costs me nothing. I must pay for my own. So he got his own offering, and he gave it from his heart to the Lord. And, you know, the will of God is going to cost us something. It's not always easy to step out in faith and go in Africa and preach, or not easy to take a day off of work and go and preach in the park, or take time to pray for people. You know, maybe God is calling you to pray during the third quarter today of the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's going to cost you the third quarter of the Super Bowl to pray for somebody across the street. You never know. But God, he still speaks to us in that still, quiet voice. He speaks to us in all different ways. He speaks to us through people. But most importantly, he wants to have that intimate relationship with you. Because he takes the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He takes the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He's going to use you. And I'll finish with this. I remember one time when I was preaching in China, You know, sometimes when we go into China, we cannot make a schedule because we're not really allowed in there, but biblically we're allowed in there. They don't want missionaries to go in. I mean, one time even I kept going into China and they asked me, the guy asked me, what's my profession? Well, I didn't lie to him. I told him I'm a teacher because I taught English in Korea. And they said, well, why did you go to Africa so many times? And I said, well, sometimes we went to the orphanage and were nice to the children, brought them shoes or something. I didn't lie or anything. So then, you know, they said, okay, you can go into China. You know, so many different times you really had to watch what you speak. And I always asked the Lord, I don't want to lie, you know, I want to tell the truth. And so they had some meetings set up, but we were going to preach in different house churches that time, but they canceled it on the day I was going in. And so I went in, and I was one day in a hotel, I was sleeping, and the phone rang. And I answered the phone, and the sister said, there's a brother, he wants you to come preach in his factory. So I said, okay. And so the sister came and got me, and we realized that she was the only one that could speak some English. And when we got in the factory, there was like 19 to 21, about 50 young people. And as I was about to preach, I realized we need an interpreter. And so I asked, can anybody speak English here? And they said, no, we can't speak English. And this young lady, she was getting a little, she could speak some English and she couldn't speak so well. She was getting nervous. So I just prayed the grace of God over her, and we just done the message, or preached the simplest message I could preach. And then we did an altar call, and about half of them or more received Christ. And the young lady, she was giving the glory to the Lord because in her weakness, God was strong. And now this young lady, she actually lives in Dallas. She married an American missionary. But she didn't know that God was preparing her one day that she would come to America as a missionary, that she would need to speak English. But at that moment, she was all I had. And at times in your neighborhood, in this city, you're all God has. And God works with you and me. He doesn't just save them by himself. We are all he has. So, you know, he says that availability is better than ability. Will you open your heart and allow him to steer you to the people you need to talk to, or to pray for the people, or to, you notice your waitress at the IHOP restaurant is sick. Will you say, can I lay hands on, pray for you, or can I just say a prayer for you? What's your name, ma'am? Or just before you're about to eat your dinner or lunch, you ask the waiter or waitress, we're about to pray for our food. Do you have any prayer requests? He says that he gives wisdom to those who ask for wisdom, and those who win souls are wise. So we have a challenge on this earth while we're here. You know, David and Moses and Elijah and all of them, according to Hebrews 11, you know, they're looking down on us and they're wishing for us to complete our work in faith, that they may be complete. They are rooting for us to do the will of God. They cannot do it. They were so talented and gifted, and God used them. They cannot do anything. We are all that God has, you and me, in our, you know, our oldness. We're getting old, some of us, in our youngness, in our weakness. God is going to use you. Amen. Are you willing that God use you? He wants to use you. He wants to use you to bring souls into the kingdom. He wants to use you that he may be glorified. You know, when we have everything and we don't need him, it's not good. When we have everything and we know we still need him, it's good. When we don't have and we need him, it's good. We have to know that we need him. Even if we have everything, we need him more and more and more. Amen? So let God use you as a channel of blessing, a channel of prayer, a channel of resources. Whatever it is, let God use you for his glory. And together we can advance the kingdom of God. We can't do it by ourselves. You know, your pastor cannot do it by himself. None of us can do it by ourselves. Can a good restaurant operate by itself? No, the cook cannot be the cashier, and the cashier cannot also be the waitress. That restaurant would be a mess. So as the body of Christ, we work together. We each have a wonderful testimony how God saved us. And if he's not saved you, today is the day of salvation. If there's even one person here that needs forgiveness of his sins, we call you forth in the name of Jesus. So we believe for God to encourage you today, to strengthen you today, that his kingdom may come through you and his kingdom may advance. Amen? So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, your
We thank you for that you use the testimony, how you worked in my life to bring faith to the here. Lord, we each have a wonderful testimony that the world needs to hear. We're each so differently, wonderfully made. There's only one of us. We are not a copy. Lord, we need you more and more. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to stand in the gap, Lord, for the unbeliever. We need to stand in the gap for the people being deceived in our nation and other nations, Lord. Use us for your glory, Lord. We all have different gifts and talents that we can help each other advance the kingdom of God. Lord, that you will be glorified in us and through us. Lord, you are a provider. You are everything, Lord. You are the one that has brought us here today. So, Lord, I ask that you challenge your people, strengthen them, and most importantly, bring them deeper into that intimate, loving relationship with their Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, nothing can satisfy us like you. And you first in our lives, then everything will come where it's needed to be, Lord. We may have questions and answers. We don't always understand where we need to go, Lord. But you say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and you will direct our path. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, that we hear your warnings, Lord, that we are not rebellious, and, Lord, we don't want to do what that man did and went swimming and had his leg bit, for that's not the will of God, that we be harmed, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that greater is he that is in us, Lord, and encourage us today. And if there's someone here who needs to be saved, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you give them the courage to come and stand before men so that they may be saved. Lord, if somebody needs healing today, we ask when we lay hands on them that they be healed in Jesus' name. If somebody needs encouragement, Lord, that your anointing, your presence will touch them today. In the name of Jesus, amen.